Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
3 days, and all of this silly talk will be over. The silly talk of what's going to happen with the top overall pick, the second pick, the third pick, the Browns, the trades, all the insanity that just seems to be intensifying. My good friend Gil Brandt just lobbing bombs out there. Yeah, Khalil Mack, he's better than Jadeveon Clowney. He's the guy who's going to go before Clowney. Clowney is going to be a disappointment. Oh, my God, all this talk. Johnny Manziel to the Browns. Johnny Manziel to the top overall pick. How about the Cowboys? This is a good one I heard over the weekend. The Cowboys trade Tony Romo to the Houston Texans, and then they get the top overall pick, and they pick Johnny Manziel. That was actually out there over this weekend. Insane, insane, insane.
Let me say this. I would have put it past Uncle Jerry to go after Johnny Manziel, but no team's taking on Tony Romo's contract in lieu of the number one overall pick in the National Football League. That's not happening at all. But it is an interesting time, and we got the Ohio business machine hot topics of the day. And it is obviously still draft-centered. We're 3 days away. Mike Florio yesterday at ProFootballTalk.com said the Browns could be leaning towards taking a tackle. That's what I've been saying all along. I would not be surprised at all if it's Robinson or Matthews that they call at number four. What are your thoughts on that if the Browns go tackle with the number four pick? And if, let's say, Clowney, Watkins, and Mack are all off the board by number four, do you take a quarterback? Do you take a tackle? Do you try to trade down? And then you have the other rumors coming up now that apparently the Browns are interested in moving all the way back with the Miami Dolphins. Then we've heard the one that says in Monday Morning Quarterback by Peter King that says the Browns are interested in going from 35 to 32 with the Seattle Seahawks to get in front of the Houston Texans and have a third first-round pick to take a quarterback. A lot of speculation out there, a lot of possibilities out there for this draft.
I would call it a lot of silliness. I don't know if it's even possibilities. I think it's a lot of talk that's filling in the last bit of mortar that's filling this gigantic two-week gap that was created by the NFL putting this draft 2 weeks later than usual, and it's been filled, I think, with an inordinate amount of stuff. Let's just put it that way. It's interesting and it's fun, and that's what we talk about on the show. And as you said, we want to get those thoughts from you, on especially on what you could see the Browns doing at four if the so-called impact makers who are not quarterbacks aren't there. Do they go quarterback there? I still say that this team has to come out of this draft with its quarterback. And if they don't, and I think Ray Farmer, for his first year as a GM, is in an unenviable position. He's in a very tough spot at four. I could argue that the number one overall pick that the Texans own, and Bill O'Brien, their first-year coach, and Rick Smith, their GM, are actually in a better place, have less pressure, and I'll say why. Because in the last couple of days, the owner, Bob McNair of the Texans, said, and he expanded on comments that Rick Smith made about knowing who they would take at number one, and if they don't take that guy, the only reason would be if somebody makes an overwhelming trade offer that causes them to give up that pick. Bob McNair says, look, Jadeveon Clowney is the only guy you would take number one. We all agree on that. All right, so your owner has already endorsed who your pick is. He made that public. He said, the problem is, you know, if you want a quarterback, this doesn't give you that, this draft doesn't give you that guy to take there. So he effectively said, they're out of the quarterback market at number one. But if somebody else wants to give them and move heaven and earth with picks to get that pick, go ahead. It's for sale, but for the steepest price. At number four, you have a Browns team that could conceivably, if things fall the way we've just laid out, the way you just laid out, Nathan, Clowney and Watkins and Mack off the board, what do they do? And if they go the conservative safe route, so-called, and get that offensive tackle, get that Greg Robinson there, or get that Jake Matthews there, and it's a, quote, safe pick, and they don't go for their quarterback, the second guessing, I think, for that will be immense, and it'll start the moment Mr. Tackle or Mr. Non-Quarterback is picked at four. Again, if they don't trade to get one, if they just sit there and get that guy, you know and I know that that will lead to a lot of just a lot of discussion as to, okay, where's your quarterback coming from?
And that's the thing. I think there's a very reasonable expectation at this point that when the Browns are on the clock at number four, every quarterback in this draft will be available to them. And that's why it has been my long-stated hope that they have conviction about one of those quarterbacks and pull the trigger. Because to me, does it matter if you draft a quarterback at four or if you would have drafted him at 14 because he's a better value at 14? If the guy's good and can be in the top half of the league as a quarterback, this team can go to the playoffs and win a Super Bowl. That's pretty much, I think, at this point in the NFL, has been proven depending on the quality of the team around that quarterback.
Right.
So I don't care if you get him at four or you get him at 14. If a quarterback is that good, he is worth the pick at four. He's worth the pick at two. He'd be worth the pick at one. It's a matter of the conviction that they have there, and that's why the big question is today, if the Browns are there at four, every quarterback's on the board, would you rather them take a quarterback, take a tackle, or trade down? If the decision makers find it more palatable to move down a little bit and then get a quarterback while picking up an extra, a little bit extra sugar, as we talked about, that might be the most ideal situation to me anyway. Because while I like Greg Robinson and I like Jake Matthews and what they could bring to this team, and I get it, it would be a big investment again in the offensive line. And by the way, we've had two guys on the offensive line out of five who are considered to be the best at their position. And yet this team still hasn't won more than six games. So I don't know how good just a great offensive line can make you. I understand that a great quarterback can make this team win and win quickly, and that's where my mind is at. And it brings up another interesting point that you and I talked about before the show. Phil Emery was talking about how these developmental quarterbacks don't really work out. Yes, in the last couple of years you had some people in the second round, Kaepernick, third round, Russell Wilson, who have worked out very nicely, but typically speaking, that is not the path for success in the National Football League.
Yeah, I wrote this in The Daily Kickoff, which is posted on clevelandbrowns.com. You can check it out. But Phil Emery, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, said he did a study. And he studied the draft from 2006, basically the Jay Cutler draft forward, on the so-called developmental quarterbacks, quarterbacks picked after the third round with the idea that they could be developed into starters. And he said none of them are. And for the most part, he said third rounders who were in the mix, eventually they aren't in the league anymore, the ones who are, or aren't starting anymore. And he made references to that. And then, of course, it brings up 2012. It brings up Russell Wilson and Nick Foles. Wilson, the Super Bowl winning quarterback, Foles the starter for the Seattle Seahawks, Foles the starter for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he said those are blips on the radar. Those don't count in the sense of what you can honestly expect from a quarterback that you take below round three. So that's been the common refrain here. They can live with Brian Hoyer. They can get A.J. McCarron or Aaron, our guy from
Aaron Murray.
Georgia, Aaron Murray. I don't know why I blanked on his name. But
how
Aaron
about
Murray,
Theodore? Let's go.
No, but yeah, but I'm not putting Theodore in the development.
No, I know.
Road. I'm going down to that lower area.
Other people seem to be, though. They think he's a second rounder now.
But that's still not development.
I know.
Below a third rounder, Aaron Murray, A.J. McCarron, you know, all those guys that are so-called the other guys, and
Tom
I don't
Savage.
Know. Yeah, to just Zach Bettenberger, does that make any sense? If I'm not saying that Phil Emery is the Yoda here and has the be-all, end-all answer on this, but a guy took the time to make a study. It's worth paying attention to, and I do think it takes me back to this. Whoever the quarterback is picked and wherever he's picked by the Browns, we're going to say he is the guy. We're not going to say it's a flyer pick. We're going to say it's a pick for a quarterback for a team that needs a quarterback. So just as you said, if you don't have that conviction at four, when are you going to have that conviction? Is it really something that happens at 26? I don't know. I don't know what's when you had them all there at four and you chose to get one at 26, think about that. That would be quite a gutsy move.
That's why
I was going to say something other than gutsy.
If for those of you who want a quarterback like I do, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of a move back. I wouldn't see a move back. And I'll say, I'm going to throw one name out there after watching him pretty extensively of the guys that are not considered to be the elite, and probably he's not also a developmental. The one guy that I think has an opportunity to be very, very good, but it will take time, is Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo's got the best release of any quarterback in this draft. He's somebody that could be reasonable at 26 or 35 if they decided to go that route. But he will have a massive transition to make. If you were to watch Jimmy Garoppolo on tape, this is a guy who does a lot of the things he does so well with ball work, with ball handling, deception, great play action, great pump fakes, but all out of the shotgun. He's never played under center. So you don't know how that play action and those pump fakes will work with the timing of being under center. This is a guy who struggled in the face of pressure at times, but if he can learn to be more comfortable in the pocket, he's got a great arm, he's got great size, he could be good. But at the same time, I'd much rather go for a guy that you know can be good. And that's going to be the interesting discussion, and that's why you're talking about the fact that at number four, it's going to be tougher than it is at number one, because there isn't that consensus guy at number four that says, right, oh, if so-and-so is there, with the exception of maybe if Clowney. If Gil Brand is right and all of a sudden Mack goes number one, and then you have Robinson two, and Watkins goes three to Jacksonville, and Clowney's there, maybe that changes the discussion. But I think there's at least from what I'm hearing, a 90% chance that when the Browns are on the clock at four, every quarterback in the league is going to be available to them in this draft.
And the three so-called can't-miss guys are off the board. And that brings me up to the question of Sammy Watkins, because that's the other dynamic sort of sexy pick that a lot of folks would love to see this team take. But I think that could be done at the peril of this team's ability to find that right quarterback. If you make a decision just as you would with O-line, it's no different to me going O-line or going wide receiver. Yeah, the receiver pick will be more exciting, and you'll say, wait a minute, he'll be the playmaker. He'll be somebody that just ramps things up from an explosive standpoint. My answer to that is, yes, he could be all those things, but I still want to know who's going to throw him the ball, and I still want to know if that person can effectively and consistently deliver the right throws at the right time and be the man. And please don't tell me we know that that's Brian Hoyer, because we don't know yet. We don't know yet. That's an open-ended question, and if we come out of this draft without that question sufficiently answered, I'll have some big concerns. I'm not going to say that I'll also be satisfied and know it's a done deal. They've got the guy who will be their quarterback for the next 10 years from this draft, but I at least want to believe they feel that way. The people making that pick embraced their guy, found their guy, and got him. And the guy I hope they decide on, frankly, if all the quarterbacks are there, is the guy I have felt good about. I'm going to say from as close to day one as we had. My opinion on this obviously has changed. Blake Bortles has been my guy for the longest time. So longer than most other people that I've looked at at quarterback. And if that's the consensus that we have, and I think it probably is, that's the guy I want to see. And I'll feel good about it. I'll feel good that they took a quarterback that I believe of this whole group will be the better quarterback as time goes on. I still don't know if any of these guys could do much for you this year, and I still know there are rough edges on all the prospects, but I'll be very happy if it's Bortles.
So right now, when you do your final mock on Wednesday, and now with it looking like Bortles is not a top three pick anymore, is that now you'll be able to say bid adieu to Derek Carr and put Bortles in there at four for the Browns? That's what you'd have?
That is where I'm going, because I'm staying true to where I have these guys ranked. I haven't changed my opinion on their rankings, because I've had Bortles first, I've had Carr second, and I had felt up to this point that Jacksonville could very easily take Bortles, and that was the information I was hearing last week. And now I'm not so sure about that. I'm less sure about that. So if he's available and I don't see him going number one, and I don't see the Rams getting him at two, there's the wild card of some team trading, obviously, in front of the Browns to take him. But I think he could be there, and I think he'd be the guy, and then move accordingly with Derek Carr and the other quarterbacks.
It's interesting, and I mean, that's really what we want to hear from you guys on right now, is we're 3 days out, rumors are swirling about the Cleveland Browns, what they're going to do. What would you want to have happen? You're hearing a lot of talk about taking a tackle at four. Are you okay with that, with a Robinson or a Jake Matthews? Would you want to trade back out of four, pick up some extra assets, and see if you can't snag a quarterback still in the top 10 that would be to your liking? Or do you say, let's just take that quarterback right there at four? 216-578-0850. Also, what do you think about the possible trade scenarios? How far, if you were willing to trade down for the Browns, is there a cap on how far down you'd go? Would you only stay in the top 10? Would you go to 16 with Uncle Jerry? Would you go down to the 20s with the Miami Dolphins? Where would you go in this draft if you were trading down? Lots to talk about 3 days away. Nathan's girl, Vic Carucci.
It's getting this thing started.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Right. And that was the Hot Topics, again, brought to you by Ohio Business Machines. Again, dial us up, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_Daily.
Let's get rolling
Nathan,
here.
Nathan, let's roll.
Yes, absolutely.